Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Let's put to rest one fairy tale statement about what makes a college player special. Finger quotes. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday, and I hope so far wherever you are, and I don't know what you're doing right now. Maybe you're having lunch, you're driving somewhere, maybe it's dinner time, maybe it's the podcast or whatever. ThePodcastPark.com. What else, Dan? Or wherever you get your...
Southern Sports Today app is always a great avenue. SouthernSportsToday.com.
All of it.
Anywhere and everywhere you can find us.
Google your computer. I want the Chuck Oliver Show, and there are various and sundry ways, all of which are free, that you can consume the show every day. So I appreciate you being here, whatever it is, whatever time of day it is for you. But I do want to start this talking about the kids. And I am not Jerry Lewis, and this is not Labor Day, and I am not, I don't think saying anything that should be provocative or revolutionary. I think this is common sense. There is a fairy tale, an idea from decades ago, not years ago, decades ago. Like, this should go back to the 50s, at least the 50s, maybe the 60s. And you know what? The last original episode airing of Leave It to Beaver, that's when this thought should have disappeared into days of yore. There is so much conversation this day and yesterday and a month ago and a year ago. And honestly, going back to... I want to say this started with Kirby Smart. There's so much conversation in the past roughly 5 years about either, at first it was the evil coaches who would not let players leave. And it was, I remember there was it John Amici, the ESPN commentator, who called Kirby Smart disgusting because he wanted to put a restriction on allowing a backup running back to transfer to the University of Miami with Mark Richt. Well, I can't have you following your former coach. Now, Kirby didn't mind at all when Maurice Smith wanted to go from Alabama to Georgia. He was just fine with that. But he said, I don't want, you know, you following your – and the kid, and I can't remember his name, was it A.J. Terman? He didn't even want to – he didn't want to go to Miami. I think he wound up at Central Florida, or that was his first choice. But about 5 years ago, the conversation picked up, because the situation started to change. And that's when there was so much public pressure on the evil coach. Now, this is the thing where I'm about to say, you know, at times I wonder if we just want to gripe. Because it was the evil coach who wouldn't let Maurice Smith go. You know what it is now? The cut-and-run players with no commitment, and they just want to hop around. Like 3-4 years ago, you were saying, by golly, let him go. And now it's the exact opposite. It's, oh, these players today, they don't know anything about commitment. I remember if we go back to whatever day the presidential election was. Now, I try to keep in my mind, I don't have the perspective of someone who lives in whatever community. Whatever's been going on, like for the past year in Portland, Oregon, my gosh, I can't understand it. But I was watching the news like the Wednesday morning after the presidential election, and there were two opposing groups in downtown Portland staging protest over the presidential election. Like, One group wanted Biden to win. One wanted Trump to win. They were both protesting the outcome of the election. I'm like, we just want to gripe sometimes. It's like, one of y'all needs to go home. I didn't know who, but one of y'all needed to go home. So the conversation now is about, oh, these kids, they're ditching on a program, et cetera, et cetera. And Nick Saban's like, oh, okay, I'm glad you're not talking about me anymore. And Lord knows, it can set you back as a player if you bounce about instead of really digging into a playbook and a system, et cetera. I'm just stating the truth there. If you have, like, Felipe Franks, whoo! Now, I had heard that Felipe was a pretty bright bulb anyway, and that he was a hard worker, and we know that he was skilled and physically able and all that. Felipe showed up, brand new system, and was like, all right, let's go. And he had a good year. I don't know that he turned himself into an NFL quarterback. He turned himself into a draftable prospect. That's not normal. You know what's normal? When you show up with just 1 year and you have to get it right almost immediately. Oh, boy. Pressure. I can't do it. And it's not just, oh, I couldn't handle it mentally. The pressure got to me. And it's difficult to do. Playing quarterback in the SEC? I imagine it's hard. Never done it. But I imagine it's difficult. To do it with either one spring practice or Felipe, bully for that kid. No spring practice. That's unusual, man. What normally happens is when you bounce about instead of really digging into a system or whatever, you set yourself back. But I do not begrudge a kid for trying to make a better deal for himself because he only has one shot at this. And Dan Mullen can go get 15 tight ends. Eric Gilbert, he's got one college experience. Now, it's going to be with at least two jerseys, different places. I assume he's not going back to LSU. But I don't begrudge a kid. You got one go-round as a college football player. Do what you got to do. All right, so there are two lines on this of the critical nature. One sort of takes the high road, but that's not what's really going on. One is, man, that special kid. He's the one that will stay in the program. Hey, he knows how to compete. He understands what it is to be a competitor. We all bleat that. Mostly because it's not our future or our kid or whatever. It's somebody else's. That's the special kid. He stayed in the program. The other way takes the opposite tack, saying, sure, you can transfer, but keep the rules in place. If you really want a new setting, you have to pay a price. Again, because it's not us. That's Kirby. No, you want to transfer, pay a price, unless it's helping me. Come on, Mo Smith. I'd invite anyone espousing either of those lines of reasoning to dial up DJ Shockley. Hey, DJ, what's up? Hey, Chuck, what's going on? DJ, I just want to tell you, man, you're special. You are so special. Thanks for hanging around the program. Oh, yeah, that. Dial up DJ Shockley. Ask him if he'd rather have the admiration of Georgia fans, if he would rather have their label as, quote, what a special kid DJ was. Ask DJ Shockley if he would rather have the special label from the Georgia fan base or an NFL pension. I haven't asked DJ about this specifically. I'm going to lean on the side of game checks and pension. Go back and look. You want another example? Go back and look at Will Greer's Odyssey. And you tell me that kid didn't get screwed over. And thus, he's scraping and clawing just to keep an NFL jersey, which I remember seeing that kid as a freshman. I was like, okay, this is different. And wasn't it like four games into the season, he got suspended and it was going to have to bleed into the next season. So it was going to take the entire rest of it was going to be like a season and a half. And he's like, this stinks. And he waited it out. He went to West Virginia and he just hung around. You tell me that didn't affect him? Go watch the Marcus Dupree 30 for 30. All right? I'm not even a Georgia fan. And by the way, Dan, if you remember something like that I'm leaving out here, because there were several schools, but I'm not a Georgia fan. I'm a DJ Shockley fan, but I'm not even a Georgia fan. I wish DJ would have transferred to, I remember it was Maryland, it was North Carolina, wherever else it may have been rumored. I remember Maryland thing with Friedgen up there, and he had offers. But DJ, what a special kid DJ is. Staying with the program. Hey, you know what, DJ? DJ's a winner, all right? DJ understands commitment. Yeah, so that you could have a senior quarterback for one really, really good year. Not DJ. Didn't do anything for DJ. You know what the NFL said? We only got 1 year of tape. That's Will Greer. Hey, what do you think about those transfer rules? Well, if I would have been able to play another, I don't know, 16 games in college? Yeah, I imagine not only would I be a better quarterback, but there'd be video evidence of it. So I just want to put to rest. Let's stop talking about this fairy tale. Like, if you want to tell me about that special kid stayed around to his fifth year, yeah, start that with Once Upon a Time, because it is an absolute fairy tale that that's what makes a kid special. No, that's what gives you a fifth-year senior versus having to maybe play a freshman.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tigers are back. Yesterday, there was an energy in the indoor practice facility that everybody noticed. Even Sam Nader said, man, these guys love football. Yeah. So there's just a different attitude among our football team, and those two wins and our recruiting class and the guys coming back and the new coaching staff, I think it's put all that together.
I've told you, he's on the short list of college football coaches that I don't need to tell you who it is, but I'm going to do it anyway by way of due diligence. Ed Ogeron, Coach O, on with Jordy and T-Bob and Jacob Hester.
That's correct.
In the mornings at 104.5 there in Baton Rouge again. And I will give him credit for one thing there. And an LSU fan, this is a pretty dang close to true. Since December 12th, anything that could go your way is gone your way. I would wonder, you know, think of how many fan bases in the SEC can say that. Since December 12th. Now, before December 12th, that counted as well. But at the very least, he referenced it. He said those final two dubs. All right, well, that was December 12th and December 19th. It could have been Vanderbilt and Missouri, and that's still, you know what, guys? We were 3-5, and we rallied. We got two conference wins, but not even in the division. In fact, it could have been a regular year, but because of, I don't know, schedule change, upheaval, whatever, you could have finished with Citadel and McNeese State. I wouldn't care about that. You still say, hey, guys, we're 3-5, and we won those final two ball games. That is not what happened. It wasn't only SEC wins, it was UF and Ole Miss. For an LSU fan, Auburn doesn't rate that highly as an opponent. I mean, it's a division opponent. It's normally a game that will decide something or perhaps eliminate you if you lose it. The Texas A&M thing's real. That was some of that post-game stuff going back to, what, 18? But after the Alabama game, and because you play Florida and because of the hurricane stuff back in whatever year that was, 16 or 17, because of them being the permanent opponent, and they're so – and those are two – that's the best crossover series there is in the SEC, the permanent ones. And then Ole Miss – I've said, outside of the Ole Miss and LSU fan bases, there aren't a whole lot of people who truly respect the level of that rivalry. So, in a literal sense, yes. Since the night we lost the game to go 3-5, got blown out by Alabama to go 3-5. Since that night, everything that could go LSU's way, brother, it's gone LSU's. Maybe except losing that receiver to Florida State. Other than that, it's all gone LSU's way. And it was Florida, and it was Ole Miss, and, well, what else went our way? How about finishing with the top five, top three, whatever it is, recruiting class? My goodness gracious. And I'll say, now, it's a scratch-off ticket. And it's probably not even one of those $20 ones where, you know, the odds are better. But you got a scratch-off ticket for Gilbert. I mean, there's a chance. If he was enrolled at Florida, there's zero chance. Now, this may be Lloyd Christmas chance, but still, I mean, Dan, there's a chance, isn't there?
No, absolutely there is. I mean, as far 1%? As I know, yeah.
There's somebody or like nine somebodies who are going to be on that LSU roster in 2021 that Gilbert looks at and thinks, man, that is my brother. That is one of my best friends. I love being around that guy. So happy I got to know him. There's 10 of those guys on the LSU roster. So if he's enrolled at Florida – hey, there's no chance he's going there. I don't know, 1%? Something. It ain't been a bad, you know, 2 months for LSU fan.
No, it hasn't. Not at all. And it looks like it could get even better, too. I mean, the fact that you've got more help coming even in the transfer portal this spring and maybe even more this summer. They've found success at that the past few years. You know, I want to kind of go off of what you said earlier because it kind of feeds into my other point is – have you ever noticed that in the age of social media, it seems like people have to really sell that they're angry? I'm mortified by this. This should horrify you. All these different types of ways to describe how I'm so angry. And you know what? Get on my side. And if you don't, you want to kill grandma. You want to make sure that everybody else suffers while you are the one that succeeds. All these different types
disagreement
of disagreement
equals hate now.
No, 100% it does. And if you do, then it's pretty much the fact of, oh, you're going to get ratioed. No. Well, you know what? Stand your ground if you actually truly believe something and go with it, because it's really not fun in life to be a sheep and follow the herd. That's just my advice to everybody, because it does lead into the next thing. And I really applaud Greg Byrne. And you talked about this a little bit yesterday for being the first, because Chuck.
Yeah, hang on. Let me apologize.
Sure.
I had that AD carousel. I had everybody like one job off, and I was just so I was like, Woodward, Byrne. Wait a minute. So yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, look, who can blame you? There's so much movement even in the AD ranks. But yes, Woodward now at LSU, Ross Bjork at Texas A&M. But him saying what he said about Alabama, of saying, hey, we're planning on this. And I appreciate the fact that somebody in the sports world is willing to sell optimism now, because scientists and doctors are telling us there's reason to be optimistic. Now, are we there? No, we're not. It's just like a coach telling his team, you guys can win a championship, but it's not going to happen that day. There's work that goes into it to make sure that it happens. In case of trying to get fans into the stands, there's still more work we got to do. There's more needles in the arms we got to get. But the thing is I knew exactly what would happen, and I'm surprised we haven't seen more of the scathing columns out there of saying, oh, he's putting people's lives at risk, all these different types of things. He's not doing any of those things. He's selling optimism. He's giving us a goal, and he's saying it's attainable. Why can't we be happy about that?
Yeah, you said the scientists, doctors, and then a radio host has said, remember, I gave you my guarantee. By midnight, June 14th, you'll be able to get 5 different vaccinations if you want it. And so, dang straight, that's 2 months before a home game.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Nine states, 51 sticks, dealing it out every single day. Been doing that since the beginning of the 2014 season, so I appreciate y'all making that possible. I've always said that one of the worst topics on radio is, and Pat Forty said, and then let's talk about what this other person said. No, let's talk about what you think. But in attributing this to the proper person, I had not heard this, and I think I should have, and so maybe I was deficient. I don't know. I was reading from Dennis Dodd. He says that UCF was all hot and heavy for Todd Monken. Can you imagine? See, that's a real thing. If you lose your offensive coordinator after only one season, the fits and starts that that causes, that's a real thing for an offensive hiccup. Let me tell you, folks, I don't care how real it is or not. Georgia fans, the last thing they want to hear, whether the offense is good, bad, dead, or buried in 2021, the last thing they want to hear is any excuses. And even if they're not excuses, they're reasons, which replacing your OC, that would have been a reason. I promise you, Georgia fans, they're going to put them in all the same bucket. They're all excuses, and they don't want to hear them. Like I said, that was something I had not really heard before. Want to welcome on now. Guy does a great job covering Georgia every single day from 24/7 Sports. It is Jake Rowe. Jake, how are you, brother?
I'm good, Chuck. How you doing, bud?
Doing all right. I was talking as you were coming on there. You're on the line, I'm sure, about UCF was all lathered up over Todd Monken before they got Gus, and I had not heard much about that. Actually, I hadn't heard anything. Was that on your radar at all?
Nah, not at all. And, you know, listen, this is a job. And, you know, obviously you would like to see the team you cover do well because it's good for your career and all of that stuff. But I just want to thank UCF or Todd Monken or whoever made that decision for not making my job a lot harder. Because, as you were pointing out, man, you want to talk about the, you know, I want to use another word instead of fire here, but the firestorm that would have caused as far as Georgia fans and all of that stuff. It would have been pretty nuts. They would have been pretty let down by that. But here we are, Todd Monken heading into his second year as Georgia's offensive coordinator, and that definitely has made things easier on yours truly.
So I'm assuming, like, Dan Mullen, he's the one texting Gus. Why'd you have to get fired, man? They would have hired Georgia's OC. Talk about that frustration then, because, I mean, it sounds like you absolutely, Chuck, you're 100% right. Georgia fans, I don't think they would care how real – like, Georgia could go through a rash of injuries this year. The fans, I don't want to hear it. I ain't interested in it. We keep finishing top three in recruiting. I don't want any more excuses. I just want to hear when we got a national championship. I don't think I'm exaggerating that very much.
No, not really. You know, I think there's probably more than you realize that are, I wouldn't say content, but they are very well entertained and very proud to be Georgia Bulldog football fans with New Year's Six Bowls year after year and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody does want to win a title. There are some that are in that category you're talking about. No more excuses. And things of that nature, but it's almost reaching the point, Chuck, in some ways I like to think it's a small group of fans, relative small group, that not only does Georgia need to win a national title, and not only does Georgia need to beat Alabama, and not only does Georgia need to be at the top of the mountain, but they need to do it throwing the football and with an entertaining offense And that's how it needs that. There are almost parameters at this point on how you need to do it and how it needs to look. And I know some would probably scoff at that notion, but I'm telling you, if Georgia led the country in scoring next year, and it was by rushing for 385 yards a game and throwing for 120 and averaging, 15 yards of completion or whatever, I think there would be some folks pretty let down by it. That's they want to see Georgia throw the football, and I think they're going to get their wish. I think Georgia's going to have a really good passing attack this year when you consider JT Daniels back, the receivers back, and Todd Monken going into his second year. But that's what they want to see. They want to see entertaining, slinging around, and big play offense.
And Jake, continuing with Jake Rowe, again for 24/7 Sports. By the way, anybody listening who's going, oh, that he's exaggerating. No, folks. Jake, expound on that idea, because last year I found that it was like a repeated conversation that, hey, even if Georgia wins the SEC, if it's beating someone other than Alabama, it's not quite the same. I was like, are you people out of your minds? I was like, it doesn't matter. You beat Middle Tennessee State for the SEC championship. It's like, you don't have to go through Tuscaloosa. But that was a real conversation.
Yeah, it's absolutely there. I guess it's kind of like, you've got a farmer and, year after year, he's growing, different crops, different, raising different livestock or whatever. And he just kind of keeps failing at this one thing. And he may be a successful farmer, or he may be getting everything done that he wants to get done. But, if that tobacco crop, it keeps failing him year after year, then by gosh, he's going to do something at some point to make sure it doesn't. Even if he has to let a thing or two slip, he's going to get that right. And that's kind of that's almost the same road that Georgia fans are on. Need to beat Alabama. Need to beat Alabama the way you want to beat Alabama, which is throwing the football and joining the elites of college football, being able to do that. And I'm not trying to paint Georgia fans as just this myopic, group. They're not. I mean,
it happens to every fan base when they get this shot of instances. Success. That's why, Kevin Sumlin, I said, if he would have just had the exact same, season by season records, just done it in reverse, I was like, he'd still be the coach at College Station.
Exactly. And they dealt with what they dealt with in 2019, and that was pretty ugly to watch, especially the second half of the season. The first half of the season, the ups and the downs and the struggles at quarterback. Georgia fans want to see their team get it right at quarterback, get it right at receiver, and be the team that everybody talks about on radio shows, on College Football Live, on all that stuff. They want to be talked about as, that they want the offense to be talked about as, hey, can't really stop this group, and you got to pick your poison. And, they want JT Daniels to be a top 10 pick next year and all of those things. And, they've got a certain way they want to see it. And based on the ugly stuff they've had to kind of look at times over the last two or three years, I think there's some justification in that.
Yeah, I there was all kinds of off-field stuff and, whatever, animosity. But I remember Urban Meyer when he left, oh, good, we're not that good right now anyway. I was like, dude won you two national championships in 5 years. Are you out of your mind? Oh, good riddance. And I was like, how does a Florida fan not like Urban Meyer? Wrapping up with Jake Rowe again, 24/7. I saw the assistants got to talk. That was kind of groovy. Matt Luke, did he tell y'all who the left tackle is going to be?
No, he didn't. Matt Luke was in head coach form when he was talking with us. I was actually really impressed that after a year of not really talking to media, he had his two, three-sentence answers ready to roll. He was excited about everybody. I don't know if you know this or not, they're going to have a lot of competition, Chuck. That word was used. It's shocking for a coach to use such a word. But, no, I thought he was good. He talked about Jamari Sawyer, and that's what it boils down to is Georgia needs a left tackle. They don't necessarily need a left tackle. Let me rephrase that. Georgia has a left tackle if they want to use him there, but they would love for somebody to step up, take it from him so that they can move him down to guard. And that's just kind of how it works. And it's a good problem to have, I think. Even when you got three or four five-star and high four-star prospects battling for a spot so you can move a five-star to his more natural position, a lot of teams would like to have that problem. I think the bigger issue is going to be at center and just kind of finding a guy to be that field general right there in the middle, because Warren Erickson and Cedric Van Pran are going to have to battle that out.
Folks, if you want this stuff every day, you can go to 247sports.com and get it. It's there for you. It'll give you, a few dollars a month, and boom, you get this. Jake, I appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much.
You the man, Chuck. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Jake Rowe again, at Rowe247. We're going to take a break, come back, continue next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Continue with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. 9 states, 51 sticks. Been diddling it out for 6.5 years. Thank you for putting that blessing in my life. I got a food cabinet with stuff in it because of college football. So, again, I appreciate that blessing every day. If you look at the UCF Knights recruiting class from 2021, if you look pretty dang near the top of it, you see a kid named Anthony Hundley. And if I didn't know anything about Anthony Hundley, you just told me, hey, that's a 3-star defensive tackle from IMG, I was like, sign me up. I don't know. I don't need to know anything else about him. But he's a 3-star tackle from IMG, and good enough for me. And it's a really good recruiting class with like players to Anthony Hundley. And then you need to talk about the grown men, because they have shown up in Orlando as well, from Fort Collins and Auburn and Knoxville and you name it. And they're, like I said, there's some grown man talent in Orlando playing for Gus. Want to welcome on now, afternoon host at 96.9 The Game down yonder in Orlando. It is Brandon Kravitz. Brandon, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, let's talk about just the in-state presence of UCF and the recruiting in the traditional sense. I mean, the high school players, it looks good on the list of incoming recruits, but then you bring the grown men into the discussion, and it really doesn't look like a group of five recruiting class. Not to me, it doesn't.
No, and I think the American Athletic Conference as a whole has been recruiting a lot better over the years, and that's been one of the things that has been sticking with some UCF fans, is the ability to out-recruit. You're not trying to out-recruit most Power Fives. You're trying to out-recruit teams within your own conference, Memphis, Cincinnati, and they've done an incredible job over the years bringing in high-level talent, and where UCF fans really feel, and I support this notion, that UCF should be at the top of that list each and every year. It feels like they were getting there. You had the undefeated season, followed up with another one, and the recruits start rolling in. I don't think Heupel was as strong a recruiter as what we're seeing right now with Gus Malzahn and the guys that he's bringing in. So certainly you want to be at the top of that list. I don't think they're quite there yet, but should be.
You know, I think if you have three former players that say, oh, yeah, I want to transfer back, I want to play for Gus, even though it's not at Auburn anymore, that's not nothing to me. That's a heck of a commentary on the coach. But also, they've had guys like Travis Williams. He was already hired at a Power 5 school. He's like, yeah, okay, I'll leave. I want to go coach for Gus some more. David Gibbs was at an SEC school. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll go AAC. I want to coach with Gus. That's a heck of a commentary on the head coach as well.
Oh, big time. I think Gus Malzahn's done an incredible job putting a staff together. And you're right. When you look at some of the guys that have chosen to come to UCF, when it's not like they were lacking opportunity, I think the one that stands out to me, Travis Williams, is a great example. And he's a rising star in the college football coaching world. Chris Dawson, one of the highest paid strength and conditioning coaches in the country, choosing to leave Kansas State, he'd been there for a decade, to come to UCF to be the sports and performance director. That to me is as big as anything else. Kind of flies under the radar, but we know that's one of those positions. Those guys are working with the kids more often than head coaches are. And so for him to snag from a Power 5, a guy that it's not like he was on the outs, well-respected, known as one of the best in the business, to leave that spot to come to UCF says a lot about what Gus Malzahn, the respect that he has and what he is instantly building on here at UCF.
Talking Knights with Brandon Kravitz. Again, get him on Twitter, at Brandon Kravitz. And you can also hear him every afternoon at 96.9 The Game down yonder in Orlando. All right, so let's talk about what Gus is inheriting, because I'm going to give you the disclaimer first. All right, so this is the asterisk, and I put it at the top of the page. It was 2020, okay, pandemic backdrop. I don't know how that affected every program. I know it affected every program, though. And so UCF, they figured it out enough to go to a bowl game. Good for them. But in the context of going 13-0, 12-1, 10-3, 6-4, it seems that I'm going to put the pandemic as less of a backdrop for UCF. Fair, unfair?
No, I think that's fair. I think using the pandemic is it's a good excuse, and it's one that's hard to argue with, because we don't really have a lot of evidence of the kind of impact that this can have on the college football world, winning and losing games, not playing in front of your fans, or at least a large amount of your fans, and the different restrictions and practice and all of the things. We just don't know really how to quantify it. But just watching this team, I never got the sense that there was that the issue was lying in the fact that we were in a pandemic year. There were opt-outs. There were opt-outs on the defensive side, a large amount. And that's something that they dealt with. The defensive side of the ball was in shambles last year. But it's not like UCF was the only school going through that. There was a pretty even playing field across college football. The fact that UCF basically only played a conference schedule and couldn't dominate within that conference, it goes back to that recruiting topic we were talking about. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for UCF is at the point now where what you should be doing, doesn't mean every year, but most years, you should be dominating your conference. And then you hope to land that right school when you schedule a North Carolina, they're humming along and they're in the top 10. When you schedule a Stanford, just so happened a couple of years ago when they played Stanford, Stanford wasn't good, but when they scheduled that game, Stanford was one of the best in the country. You hope that you can dominate your conference and then win those games. Last year, they couldn't take care of business against the schools that they go up against each and every year. That was the problem. They dealt with COVID issues. I thought UCF did too. Defense, certainly a problem, but at the end of the day, the team just didn't execute. When it came down to crunch time, I can't blame that on a pandemic.
Wrapping up with Brandon Kravitz, again, Afternoon Drive host every Monday through Friday, 96.9 The Game, the flagship for the UCF Knights. So we're talking about what Gus inherits. Well, he inherits a much more robust schedule than what anybody faced in 2020 in the AAC, starting with Boise State, at least as it's scheduled now, and that's how I'm approaching it. What is the and I want to say the approach from UCF, because like an SEC school, I would say, what's your approach to scheduling? Like how much do you want to dial it up? How receptive have the other programs, the programs in Power 5 been to UCF saying basically anybody, anywhere? It's not their approach. It's how successful their approach is, how receptive the Power 5 programs are to it.
From what I've heard, I don't think they're very receptive to it, because we know how this works. The national perception is what everybody's worried about, because that's the world of college football. And the perception is you lose to UCF, you're less than, you beat UCF, oh, no big deal, that's a Group of Five school. And I think there are a lot of Group of Five. This is not just a UCF thing. UCF for years has carried the banner, but I think we just saw last year Cincinnati is a card-carrying member as well of who really wants to play those teams when you're not getting the credit you deserve if you beat them. And it's too punitive if you lose. So, and then when you look at the one-for-one, which UCF, maybe they go away from it now because Danny White's in Tennessee, Terry Mahajer takes over as the athletic director. He hasn't completely spelled out what his motive is or mission is in terms of scheduling, but I think he's going to be a little bit more lax. Either way, if you go with the one-for-one, UCF Stadium only seats 45,000. Comparatively to a lot of Power 5 schools, that's nothing. And if you're looking at only getting 25% of your fans inside of that stadium, you're just not getting a lot of money back. So the one-for-one financially is not that appealing for big-time Power 5. And I think you go back to the punitive nature of losing to a Group of Five school. So where I think a lot of the narrative nationally is UCF is scared to play such and such and such because this is their scheduling procedure. It's probably the other way around, and that's not me puffing my chest out as an Orlando citizen.
Oh, no, I agree with you, absolutely.
I think that's just the way it works.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to tell you, I think Boise, the reason I brought them up, I thought it was interesting that that's the opener, the scheduled opener. Boise kind of ruined it for everybody because you remember Boise, when they were really emerging, Brandon, they could get the games, and then they beat Virginia Tech in Landover, and they beat Georgia in Atlanta, and then they're like, yeah, let's stop playing teams like this. There literally is no upside for it. Last thing I wanted to ask you before I let you run, and you'd mentioned Danny White there. What is that? I don't know that I ask this very often because, I mean, somebody gets to be an AD, and they like to keep that job. What is going to be the tangible effect on the UCF athletics department with Danny White now on Rocky Top?
I don't think we're going to know the answer to that until we see the hires that Terry Mahajer makes, not just in – we've seen him make a hire in the for the football program, but and that gets all the headlines and attention because we're obsessed with college football in this country. But what Danny White did, I think, almost as good as anything else. He was a very good fundraiser. I understand that Terry Mahajer brings that with him as well. I'm not too worried about that. He was so good at hiring the right individual – the baseball coach, Tick Up, basketball coach, and Johnny Dawkins, the women's basketball coach. The women's basketball program has taken a tick up with the hire that Danny White made and Katie Abramson. We've seen it in basically every hire that he made. It was amazing and almost astounding as you go, he hasn't struck out yet. There wasn't a single hire, unless you want to, I guess, grade. Josh Heupel was an inconclusive. He was incomplete. There wasn't a single hire that Danny White made when he was at UCF that was a bad hire. In fact, they were all excellent. It's going to be hard to repeat that because it's just hard for anybody to bat 1,000. So that's going to be the drop-off to me because there's just no way that you keep up a record like that.
Brandon Kravitz, appreciate your time so much today, brothers. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Keep it up.
All right, Brandon Kravitz again, afternoon drive host, 96.9 The Game in Orlando. Again, flagship for UCF. And the athletic department, the AD hire in Knoxville, I mean, it was about the highest rung up the ladder, even actually a couple of rungs probably past what a lot of people had projected. But it's the absolute top of the list that anyone would have even considered for Tennessee. It's a really, really strong hire. Somehow, UCF is viewed to have done just as well in replacing Danny White. Funny thing is, UCF pulls past Tennessee in the general perception of the hiring of the football coach. It's that they were, well, we're in at least as good a spot. We believe. We're happy with the hire from Arkansas State for the new AD. And for the football coach, again, Gus wouldn't have taken the Tennessee job. I don't know if they would have taken Gus, but Gus wouldn't have taken the Tennessee job. He'd take the UCF job. And it's, again, a pretty general summary that UCF at least pulled even on the AD. And the really important hire, they got the edge.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.